talking about.
Okay, he's ready. What we said to Ben was, it's a standalone class that's tied into last week. So if you didn't listen last week, you can still follow today. If you did, him or me. Well, he has a camera loves you. It only adds 10 pounds to me. If you didn't pay attention last week, Eliezer, if you didn't pay attention, Eliezer, last week, you can still follow this week. If you did pay attention, you might enjoy it more this week. Now, what we discussed last week was in general the idea that certain mitzvahs are to man and God, certain mitzvahs are to man and man. And among the differences we said, that's what we're going to discuss now. Among the differences we said was we claimed, as a simple thing, and I said each one of those answers last week, we could write a whole book on. We're going to go into one of those as well from now. Each one of the differences. One of the differences was that we said that when you do a mitzvah to man and God, you need to have intent. If you're walking around holding a lulav with no intent for the mitzvah, you're just odd. Because holding a lulav isn't doing anything. It's just weird. Oh, you're doing because God commanded you to do it, and you know you're doing it for that reason, then it becomes a powerful tool as a mitzvah to change the entire globe. That makes sense. But as far as doing something nice for someone, you don't have to have intent because the receiver, the recipient, is in a better place. So that you might not need intent. As a general rule, we said general rule, if it's a man and God issue, proper intent required. Man-man issue, proper intent not required. So now we're going to stop. Now what we said last week is the example we're going to delve into. The reason why we're delving into this week is because about 3 days from now, we're going to go up there and pray for the next 10 days, after those 3 days, and we're going to say the famous phrase, tshuva, tfila, utzadaka. Repentance, prayer, and charity wipes out bad decrees. Tshuva, tfila, utzadaka, maybe it's not. So we're going to discuss tzedakah since we brought that up last week. That's how I'm connecting them. And we asked whether tzedakah requires intent. So last week we said very simply was this. We quoted a Gemara, not a Gemara, it's a Rashi, which we're going to get to in a second. We're going to quote a different Gemara. And Rashi says, in this case, the Gemara, the Pasuk says in Devarim over there, that was the last one he says, when you reap your harvest in your field, practical law, you reap your harvest in your field, and you forgot, weird phrase, a bundle in the field. You know what that means, a forgot, what does it mean, a bundle? You shall not turn back and take it. Certain properties that are left behind, if you missed it, it now becomes poor people's. It shall be for the orphan and the widow and the poor people. Now, extra words we're going to discuss. Yeah, and if you do so, Hashem will bless you in all your handiwork. Odd mitzvah. The mitzvah is with no intent. You can't have intent. You must, seems like, you forget something, become charitable, and therefore you get blessed. Rashi quotes. You have Rashi, if they quote Rashi in the Hebrew ones. English. Oh, they don't. So we're going to read Rashi from my interpretation of the readings. Rashi says, toward the end of that passage, it says this. It says, Rashi's pointing to these words, and Hashem will bless your handiwork, even though you got this credit without intent. So it's saying, even though no intent, you forgot something, you get blessed. Kal v'chomer, it goes what we discussed last week, that if someone does it with intent, what's the case? I want to tell you, I don't know what that means in a second, I want to tell you, someone drops a $100 bill out of his pocket. I'm Americanized what Rashi said. He didn't say $100 bill, he said seller. He dropped it out of his hand, and a poor person finds it, and a poor person has now a little money in his pocket. He becomes blessed by God. So we brought this last week in the class, and we said, this is among the proofs that tzedakah, charity, is between people, and charity doesn't intend. Open statement. If you drop the dollar bill, you don't even know about it. We said last week, you might even be against it. If the right person picks it up, though, then you get charity. If the wrong person picks it up, you get nothing. We said last week, that would be an opportunity that Hashem has to help you out of. Now we're going to say an amazing story sent out from the thing. We're going to go slowly so we fully grasp it. Use not as slow as you want me to go ahead.
Question.
Yes.
All right. You drop some, let's say, some vegetables in a bag. You say, don't hold back and get it.
Well, that's not a bag. In your field when you're reaping.
In the field. All right.
Yeah.
But
go
back. All right.
Bag your important.
Right.
But not going back. That's an intent also.
Excellent, Eliezer. Excellent. You started out slow on that one. I was nervous where you were going when you said bag. That is brilliant. Keep that in mind. We will get to that at the end of the class. Just for the people who didn't hear it, wait a second. There's two stages of this mitzvah. And there's a point that had a brilliant idea. That what happens is the guy's going through his field, he's cutting, cutting, cutting. And at a certain point, he realized that he missed something. That missing is for the poor person. Wait a second, Eliezer is saying. That's not no intent. At this moment, he realizes he forgot something. He can turn around and grab it. So that does have some sort of intent at this moment. The turnaround to grab it potentially is more of an intent. That was your question.
That's right.
Brilliant. We'll get to it soon, hopefully. Now, but again, that's your question. But before Eliezer's question, we're making the assumption that if someone dropped a dollar, no intent whatsoever, or he dropped the field, he missed something, he's all good. Here goes an amazing story. End of 66 being Suez. Just when Charles wants to get to it, 66 being Suez at the end. But we don't link now. We don't link now. Here goes a fascinating story, seriously. Keeps a whole year on the story. We should take up, Eric, if we went through it one day, we will take up a whole year for this mind-blowing story. Everywhere it is. Here goes. Tana Rabbanan. It happened. That Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So each person while they're there, when they lived, not for now. That he was, I'm doing the Oscar, he's hearing English. That he was riding on a donkey, exiting Jerusalem. A lot of details, right? Every word. He's riding on a donkey. Who cares? Exiting Jerusalem. Who cares? But we're all important. It's the main story. And his students were walking behind him. And he saw a certain girl that she was gathering kernels of barley. She's a girl gathering kernels of barley. Not just kernels of barley. From between the excrement of animals belonging to Arabs. Again, everywhere. Everywhere is $1 million. He sees a girl there. Achaskel knows right away. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and his students normally would never ever look at a girl. Right? Look at a girl. When she saw him, we don't know if he saw her, but she saw him. It says she covered herself, because she really was a grand rabbi, a little more, I don't know what she was dressed at before, it's a little interesting. Was she modest before, not modest? Okay. She covered herself with her hair and stood before him. She said to him, Rebbe, my master, please feed me. He asked her, my daughter, who are you? I don't know, that's something we do when it comes to charity. Who are you? I don't know. Again, with all this pointing out details that we're not getting into. Amrali, unless Eric said you spent the whole year on this. Amrali, she asked him. She answered him. I am the daughter of Nachdiman ben Gurion. She said his father's name. Nachdiman ben Gurion, by the way, we're about to see, was a, his time, billionaire. Amrali said to her, you're sitting here, you need charity, you're working in the fields of the Arab. My daughter, where did the money of your father's house go? Seriously, you had a massive inheritance. You're going to love this. Michael, you're going to love this story. The rabbi meets a girl and she's collecting the fields and she looks broke, she has some money, and you find out who she is. Her father was a billionaire. He said, where's all the money? Amrullah, she says to him, my master, do they not say in Proverbs in Jerusalem? Interesting phrase. She mentioned another place there. What do they say? What's the quote that people always say? The salt of money is its deficit. Wow. I don't even know what that means. Salt of money is its deficit. First interpretation of salt is used as a preservative. The proverb intent is that one who wishes to preserve his money and inherit it to his children, and I'm adding on, his money should lose it by always giving it to charity. The deficit caused by charitable serves as its preservation. So she's saying, where did all my father's money go? You know the famous statement, he didn't use proper salt. He didn't give it away for proper charity. So it seems right now. Now, some say that's not what she said. Some say she didn't say that. Salt is the proper form of protection. Some say, which would be unbelievable, by the way, some say she said chesed. By the way, it spells it in. Chesed and chaser. What does chesed mean? The salt of money is kindness. Different word. Instead of saying the salt is a deficit, the salt is kindness. Here it says, to preserve one money, same idea, by the way, it sounds like the same idea. It's not. One must preserve, to preserve one's money, one must use it for kindness. According to either version, she was alluding to the fact that her father's fortune had been forfeited because charity had not been given. Seems like when you read it, it's nothing. She said either, it sounds like fake words. Either she said the salt of money is deficit, or she said the salt of money is kindness. By the way, Rashi said, it both means the same thing. He didn't give charity. We'll see. It's not the same thing. Charity, and that's why it's gone. So here we have Nachdiman ben Gurion, millionaire, lost all his money. His daughter is outing her father. He didn't give charity. He said, okay, we know. Rich marry rich. So it says, wait a second. What about, that's it. Well, that's your father. What about your father-in-law? Where'd that cash go? That's also a lot of money. Amrullah, this came and wiped out that. It answers that they connected to each other. It was such toxic money from her parents' house that it touched her in-law's house, disappeared as well. I'll finish it. Amrullah, she said to him, my master, do you remember when you signed Maksuba? He was at the wedding when this billionaire, when the acquisitions and mergers happened, when billionaire A's son married billionaire B daughter, and he was there. So she says, they lost the money because my father didn't give charity. Didn't blame the father-in-law. She says, do you remember my wedding? You signed my marriage contract. See, he turned out. Why? Funny thing she asked him. Now he says to them, I remember when I signed your contract. And I read it, a million dinars of gold from her father's house was promised to her besides what was promised by her father-in-law. lot of money. He was telling the students, when I said it was rich, I remember that contract. Real money here. And he started crying, Reb Mezakai. And he said, how fortunate are you of Israel? When you do the will of Hashem, no nation can touch you. When you don't do the will of Hashem, you become into another nation. He's dealing with the Arabs. And not the regular nation, but the animals of the other nation. I said he was busy with that. Fine. That's all the story. We're not going into every detail, but the main one discussing is this. He did not give charity, it seems like. And therefore, he lost all his money. Toxic on his in-laws' money. Now goes to Mara's question, which can be very important to us. Is it true Nachim and Ben Gurion did not practice charity? What are you talking about? How could she say that? It says they used to walk the streets. When he would go from the base medrash, go from his house to the base medrash, what they would do is they would take out fine woolen. They would roll out literally the red carpet. They rolled the red carpet, fine woolen out, and they would spread it on them for walk. And as he would walk, the poor people come. They would take all of the carpet. So they would make a business out of it. Roll out the red. I don't know if they did the kings in the old days. Roll out the red carpet. Poor people got it. That's a lot of charity just given away. Two answers. He lost his money. He did charity. Let's figure it out. Mara gives two important answers. First answer is, he did it for his own honor. That's what it says. He did it for his own honor. He wasn't giving charity to charity. He gave his own honor. Therefore, it says in the bottom, his giving did not afford him money to protection that charity provides. He lost that. He did it for his own honor. Second answer, he didn't give as much as he should have given. He was supposed to give, when you're a billionaire, you give 10%, and he gave 5%. So, you know, it looked like a lot of money. In the end, it was a lot of money. Two answers why he lost the money. We're focusing right now on the first one. What do you mean he did it with the wrong intent? Michael came late. We said before, you don't need intent by charity. If you drop $100 with Michael and a poor person picks it up, you don't know about it. You're against it from last week's class. You don't want to give $100. You want that in your pocket. You're pretty frustrated. You lost $100. Poor person picks it up, you get credit. So wait a second. If I don't need any credits, I don't need any credits. So big deal, he wanted it for himself. What's the difference? Now, that question is almost asked, just in case the Hebrew readers on the audience, by the Mashal. Yes, a little different than I'm asking, but I'm doing it easy for this class. The question should be fairly obvious. Last week, this morning, earlier in this class, we said charity does not require intent. And we're saying he lost all his money because he didn't get the charity. That's the basic question. Answer number one. You got an answer, Ben? Look like you're thinking there. Percolating, as they say.
I was thinking when you said 5% instead of 20.
That's the second answer.
Yeah. Well, it seems like he was being misleading because how many people know what the cost of fine linen carpet like that costs?
Excellent.
So he seems like he's misleading people.
Correct. But that would only be the second answer.
Right.
In the first, we'll see what's the difference in time. The first answer is saying he wanted it for his own honor. So before the second answer, he wants his own honor. Who cares? Who cares what he's thinking? You don't have to have any thought process. Right, Michael? Okay, so answer number one, a gimme, is yes. No thought process beats negative thought process. So when you drop a dollar, you don't know about it, and a poor person picks up, you're good to go. You don't need intent. You don't need positive intent. And therefore, you don't need any intent. Neutral intent, no brain cells, our generation today, you're good to go. But here, he had negative. He was giving charity, but he had the negative thought of mind. Oh, negative thought? That's worse. So no intent required. Negative intent does not work. Almost, we'll see in a second. Almost coming up in 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now. We have a famous question. We've discussed this in this class in the past. Don't worry, don't forget, Eric. We've discussed this in the class. That the rule is, when you hold the lulav of an esrog, that is the mitzvah. We shake. But that's not the mitzvah. It is part of the mitzvah, but the rabbinic extras. The holding of it is the mitzvah. So the Talmud has a great debate. The halachas have a great debate. How do you hold the mitzvah and make the blessing? We always make the blessing before we do the mitzvah. So technically, once you pick it up, 1/10 of a second, you fulfill the mitzvah. So you can make a bracha then? No, can't do that. Too late. You ready to fulfill the mitzvah? Yes, you can hold it a whole day. That's not the mitzvah. The main thing is 1 second. So what do you do here? So the rabbis have different ways. Depends what you're doing your local shul. Some actually wait and then pick it up. Rabbis don't like that. They believe that I make the blessing. Blessing God, you made the mitzvah. Then I pick it up. They don't like that delay again. Some rabbis don't like delay again. Okay. They say don't do that. Some rabbis say turn it upside down. Oh, do that. Upside down is not the mitzvah. So when you're holding it upside down, no mitzvah yet. Make the blessing. Turn over. Now you do the mitzvah. That's why we do it upside down. Third answer, some say. No, not bad though. Third answer, some say, is that when you pick it up, have in mind, no mitzvah, no mitzvah, no mitzvah. Blessing, yes, mitzvah. Because your intent for no mitzvah helps. Because then a negative intent works. So I'm just extrapolating. Just like in 2 weeks from now, we hold the little, we could technically, if you want to ask your local rabbi, instead of going the flip, we'll name it the flip, I can just hold it up straight and have intent. Of course, someone next to you is going to say, hey, I'm flipping. But he's not realizing what you're thinking. But technically, you can hold it up. Same to a charity. If you have no intent to win, negative intent, you lose. Eric, question.
Maybe it's not a point that's as important, I think, but Eliezer's answer before is the focal point. You keep saying if you dropped a dollar out of your pocket or dropped $100 out of your pocket, you didn't know it, you're finding you get the benefit of charity. I don't think that that's analogous to the story of harvesting your field, dropping a sheep, and not turning around. You obviously knew about it. You obviously are stopping yourself from doing something.
Still in your thumb, Eric. Eliezer, still on.
No,
I'm he's right. And excellent. Credit, but, okay, so we're going to do that now, even though I was going to lose the end. Correct.
But what you're saying now is if you have no intent, you're still getting the credit for the mitzvah. So you have to negate the intent or negate the non-intent.
Excellent.
In order for it to...
I get through to it now. Because Eric's good, and Eliezer was good. Not that you're not good now. So the question is this. Let's get the question first. The question Eric is saying based on the label is true. In the case of when the guy left the shicha, he left in his field to harvest. Then he turns around and says, oh, I left it here. He said, oh, don't touch it. So he doesn't touch it. At that point, there is intent. So how does Rashi, that's what Eric, I think that, compare it to the guy who dropped the dollar and never knows about it? It's not the same case. In the case, Eliezer says the guy with the harvest, he remembers at the end. Not remembers, he knows. He figured it out and he didn't go back. So why does Rashi say, by the way, that compares to the case of the guy who dropped the dollar and never got back to it? That's the question.
Where does Rashi say that, though?
It's Rashi in with the two chumashim places I said. One was in Devarim 24:19.
Okay.
And I gave another one there. The other one was in Vayikra. Same Rashi in two places. Here it says like this. Although, ready? I should read it from here, no?
Yeah.
Yeah. Although it came into the stranger's hands without the owner intending this, it follows logically that that certainly receive a blessing if he does have intention, not for us. You must therefore admit that if a seller fell out of one's hand and a poor man found it and supports it by himself, then he will surely be blessed on that account. Correct. So Rashi's comparison, according to Eliezer and Eric right now, is a little fuzzy.
No, because you're talking about intent, not knowledge. The example you're giving about dropping a dollar and not knowing you dropped the dollar is not the same as having the intent to leave it there. If I drop a dollar and I know I drop a dollar, they say someone will get it. Then I get the blessing. But if it's unknowing to me, if I didn't realize
it, but you're still asking Rashi, saying how is Rashi connecting it to the guy who dropped it, to the guy who turned around and saw it? That's not the
no,
question.
No,
that's a good question. I'm not sure what you're asking now.
That is.
I thought you were asking that because that's a good question.
No, you're saying that the guy, if he doesn't know, he dropped something.
Correct. That's what Rashi said, right?
No, he says if he didn't intend to leave it.
Possibly.
No, isn't that what it
says?
That's
the genius that you guys might be coming up with. But yes. Eliezer pointed out that in the case of the reaping of the benefits, the guy turned around and knew at one point. And Rashi seems the case that the guy didn't know, or Eric pointing out, non-intentional. Okay, so now one answer is going to be this. This is going to answer Eric either way. Okay. It's a very wild answer. Nobody watching the screen is going to know this. The Panim Yafis, Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer. Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer says that, by the way, because he agrees with Eliezer's point, that it has to be that the guy turned around and he realized it was there, then by the money, it's the same thing. The guy knew it was there also. What do we have by Rus? I sent out a link by Rus. By Rus, you have the link there. It says by Rus like this. Boaz meets Rus, chapter 2 in the field, and he thought, talking to him. He says, okay, you know what? Do me a favor. Collect these charities from the field, from my field. Don't get anyone else's field. And then what does he do? He turns around to the sharecroppers, if that's the word in English that they have there, turns around to the sharecroppers, tells them, by the way, guys, wink, wink, nod, nod, little forgetfulness today will be good for her. So when you're going by and reaping all the stuff, leave a lot over. Now, she didn't know that. She didn't know that. She's going through as if she's lucky day. Everyone was drinking today. I'm going through the field of leftover. On a normal day, they leave over 7 stalks. Today, we got lucky, left over 60. But they had to pretend. So the Panim Yafis wants to say that this Rashi, almost on your word with intent and knowledge, that's why, that he wants to say that the only time, it's a massive chiddush saying Rashi, the only time that Rashi says you're going to reap a benefit, you're going to get the mitzvah when you drop the coin, is similar to the case of Eliezer's case of the leaving over the harvest, which is similar to the case of Rus, intentional. And he writes, why do you get such a blessing? Unbelievable. You know why you get such a blessing? Because we had discussed this 20 years ago, Rosen on camera, literally from our first days. We did about 8 months on charity. And we went through the laws. And the ultimate charity is when the giver and taker are not fully aware of each other. It's a better way of giving it. No one's embarrassed. No one's getting credit. Ultimate lashma, ultimate thing. So he says that what happened here was, by the way, they let go. So it's a perfect thing. She doesn't realize they're giving her charity. She doesn't even feel the need to thank them. It's good. Same thing with the dropping of the coin. He says the guy knew the whole time, but he's dropping it because he wants the person to get it without feeling bad about themselves. So the person doesn't feel bad at all. That's when you get the special blessing. That's when the Torah says you get a bracha. But it would mean that a normal charity requires, Eric's word, some intent by the giver. Up until right now, Eric and Eliezer came in, we said, Rashi, read simple. 99% of the people read this Rashi that way, that if you forget, if you drop a $100 bill and you don't know about it, you're against, like I said last week, that's a 99% of the people read this. You still get credit, because charity doesn't need credit. But in the office, no. Read the case here. That's not what it's talking about. But everything I'm saying is based. People read the funny office, he might disagree with why I'm doing this. It's all based. I'm just saying the word based multiple times. He says, no, based on Eliezer's question, that the reaping sheaf has to be done with some intent. He knew afterward, charity also knew at one point, faking it for the ultimate charity, ultimate blessing. But that would mean, take away everything we just said, charity requires intent. Oh, what happened over here? What about Nakim Ben Gurion? You didn't have proper intent. You need intent. You need to drop it, wink, wink, by accident, drop it, but yes, intent. So we would have an argument now. We came into the first 20 minutes of this class saying charity doesn't need intent. It's man to man, results are good. Now we're saying, and Ben Gurion doesn't, how did Ben Gurion lose out? I'll tell you, Ben Gurion lose out. It's not true. Charity needs intent. That will be the first answer of the many. Oh, we already gave one answer. One answer was no intent is fine. Negative intent is not fine. Second answer is no intent is not fine. You always need intent. You always need intention to give charity. Dropping the dollar doesn't mean dropping the dollar. It means wink, wink, dropping the dollar. So the guy wouldn't feel embarrassed. So answer number one about why Nakdim Ben Gurion, billionaire, married a billionaire, why his kids have no money. Negative intent, but you don't really need intent, you can't have negative intent. New answer is, no, you always need intent. It's not true, always need intent. So now we're back to the question, why not Nakdim Durham might have lost his money? Third answer, one was again, negative, one was you always need. Third answer, something we discussed months ago, I think more than once, is that we discussed, I think more than one class, we discussed a concept called time of wrath. Time of wrath.
Yes, all things are bad.
That means, and it was about tzitzis. Mar Menachos talks about it. We don't have to wear tzitzis. You don't have to wear tzitzis. If you're wearing a four-corner article of clothing, you must put on tzitzis. And we discussed those laws then. So the idea is this. The idea is, but it says like this. In a time of wrath, I can't say words, but tomorrow said, when Hashem's in a judgmental situation, and wrath means anger, at that moment, people get punished for minor crimes. We give good examples that time about people and wives. When something's gone wrong, it's all gone wrong. So now, in a time of wrath, strict justice starts. So even though on a normal Wednesday, if I'm wearing a normal tooth, I'm not wearing census cards, not that upset with me. Well, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. I just didn't do something right. If I walk around without census and none of my clothing has four corners because they're round, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't add on extra mitzvahs. Okay, I'm good to go. When Hashem's a little upset with that, I don't like to say God's in a bad mood. I say, oh, by the way, you didn't try to be that good guy. You're in trouble. Now, same thing the Chavetz Chaim wants to say. Chavetz Chaim, they quote it from the Chavetz Chaim, come find inside. Say the Chavetz Chaim wants to say about charity. When you give charity without intent, okay, you'll get some credit. Not the best. Angrily, disgruntled, whatever you want to say, you're fine. But Nadim Magurian, you know when he lived? I didn't know. That's why I said every word has to be taken into account. He lived at the time, yes, my Zakai, he lived at the time of the destruction of the temple. Would you say, Michael, destruction of temple, time of wrath? What do you think, Michael? You think God was in a pleasurable mood right before he had to destroy Klal Yisrael's temple? No. So when God's in that frame, judgment day, he looks back and says, okay, let's go through, bring me the ledgers again. Let's go through this again. Oh, this guy wasn't wearing tzitzis on Wednesday? No, I'm not happy about that. Oh, this guy gave charity for his own personal benefit? Not happy about that. So what happens is, that it's in a time of wrath he got punished. It means that Bagdurian Ben Gurion in history would have lived at a different time, and he's thinking to himself, I'm going to give that $100 because I want credit. Right? I told you, Eliezer, you give me 20 grand for my next book, I'll give you credit. Not a problem. But That's fine in a regular Wednesday. Regular Wednesday. But God forbid God's in a bad place of mind. That doesn't work. So now Dean Magurian only lost out. Bad timing. Now the question on that Chavetz Chaim, a Hubner question, is wait a second. Let's go through that. Is that an exact comparison? The case of the tzitzis was a guy not doing something positive. But here, maybe not giving with the right intent is a negative word. Why do I have to wait for a time of wrath? That's going to be how we, the Chavetz Chaim is adding to time of wrath cases. That even situations where maybe I don't need intent, I don't need intent, so what did I do wrong here? I don't even need it. Am I doing something more wrong? I have to know what lack of intent. Anyway, that was the third answer. Fourth answer. Again, back to a simple question. Well, not a simple question anymore. Simple question is, do you need intent by charity? And if you do not need intent, why did not the Magurian daughter say he lost all his money because he didn't have any intent? Oh, and by the way, on the other answer that it might be a disagreement, some would say it's a disagreement with two answers. One answer says he wanted it for his own honor, and guess what? He didn't intend. The other answer said he didn't give enough charity. You don't need intent. 5% versus 10%. The answer is too fast, but fine. We want to do the other answer first. The other answer is that when it comes to receiving credit for the mitzvah, you get credit whether there's intent or not. You dropped $100, $100 of charity. We're not talking about the $100 mitzvah. We're talking about the blessing of being a billionaire. There's a special blessing that the pasuk talks about here. Oh, you want special blessings? You better start thinking. For the mitzvah, you're good to go. But in the world how it works is that the world goes in a circle. People are up, then people are down. People up here. You want to stay up, billionaire? You need special stuff for that. Special stuff that intent requires. You'll get credit for the mitzvah. Then you'll get credit for the mitzvah. You drop a dollar, you're not getting special blessings. That becomes another answer. So, I wish you could see what's in the table. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. Ma'avir in Israel, gzeira. Hopefully, Hashem will not be in a time of wrath. Hopefully, our charitable with the proper intent or the improper intent will be accepted.
Amen.
And we'll have the redemption ASAP. Amen. Thank you, Ben. Welcome back.